Welcome to the Language is Music podcast. On this podcast, you will hear interviews and presentations done by Susanna Zreisky, the author of Language is Music. You can find out more information about Language is Music and about how you can learn foreign languages using music and the media at Susanna's website, languageismusic.com, www.languageismusic.com. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Joining us right now is Susanna Zreisky. She is an author. We had talked to her earlier this year, and now she has some books that are released. Pretty interesting stuff. Susanna, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. It's great to be on the air with you.
So, okay, a couple new books, huh? We've got Language is Music. Mm-hmm. And I really would love to learn a foreign language. They made us take French when I was in school in Detroit, and the only thing I remember is Je m'appelle Steve. But I'm Italian. I always wanted to learn Italian. I mean, I know some of it, but from growing up and such. But how does Language is Music work?
So basically, it's this. So I speak seven languages, and I realize that the way I learn language and the way I'm able to pronounce things so well in different languages is because I listen to language like music. So I'm able to copy sounds like I would in a song. And it's very simple. If you think about the way you learn language when you're a baby, for about a year, you just listened before you started speaking. And babies, they're processing the sounds of the language or the languages that they're hanging around them before they can actually pronounce them. And what happens when we are in school, whether we're teenagers or adults, and we go into a classroom, the first thing we start learning is je m'appelle in French or me llamo in Spanish or whatever. So we start learning grammar and vocabulary. That's a completely unnatural way of learning because our minds aren't ready to learn grammar and words. We first need to listen to the language to be able to hear the frequency of sounds in the language, and then we can reproduce them. So the book starts with lessons on how to listen to music in the foreign language, or just have the TV or the radio in the foreign language in the background, so your mind just gets used to hearing the sounds. And then I have exercises on how to use actual songs, like listening to the songs, writing down the lyrics, practicing drawing out the lyrics so you're able to make a visual representation of the song in your mind. And then I have exercises for watching movies and watching TV, listening to the radio, and I have other day-to-day exercises people can use to learn language. It's actually fun.
How'd you come up with this? I mean,
that's a good question. People for so many years were asking me, how is it that you speak so many languages? Because I speak seven, and I have excellent accents. I mean, I can pass as a native until I start making some grammatical mistakes. And I realized that I was doing something that other people weren't doing, and I couldn't figure out what it was, because for me it was just so natural. And then last year, I read a book called Musicophilia by Dr. Oliver Sacks, and he's the neurologist who wrote The Awakenings and the Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. And the book Musicophilia was about the neurological aspects of music on the brain and about how people react to music and what the sections of the brain are activated by music. And that's when I realized that the way I was learning language was actually how I was learning music, or I was listening to music. Mm. Music is a lot more fun, by the way, than learning grammar. I'm sure we can all attest to that.
No kidding.
Yeah, and so then I was like, oh, now I get it. Then I thought about it. I'm like, wow, I should really write down exercises that people can do to do this, because you don't need money. You don't have to leave the country to go on a, you know, expensive intensive language program in Costa Rica or whatever. And I realized that there was a need for it, because we're abysmal in this country at learning foreign languages, even though we take it in high school. So there's obviously something missing in our education system.
Yeah, I've always thought that. And, you know, it was weird. I mean, why did I need French in the fifth and sixth grade? Why were they forcing me to take French? Just because Detroit was founded by French and Indians. And a lot of the streets are named after French people. And, you know, what was the deal? You know, I wish they would have at least given us a choice to, you know, learn Italian or Spanish or something. But French? I don't know. Just that always made me mad about And I didn't, you know, thus I didn't learn much, and I didn't really care. It was just something you had to take, and I just kind of blew it off because I was playing rock and roll and chasing girls. But if I wouldn't realize at the time that if I had learned French, I probably would have done better with girls. It is the language of love, after all. Anyway, I'm babbling.
Italian can be quite good, too, for hitting on girls.
You even talk about something about watching TV. There are some mm-hmm. tips that include watching TV to help learn a language. Explain that.
Sure. So, for example, if you're watching the news in any language, there's so much that you can see just by the visuals. Like if there's a fire, you can see there's a fire, and then they repeat the word fire five times, and you guess that the word for fire is fire. And so you see the visual representation on the news, and then you hear the words. And so some people who are visual learners, they need that visual image in order to understand what the word is. Some people are audio learners. But I think in language, you have to use everything, visual inputs, audio inputs, and written inputs, because when you're working, when you're living a language, you're having inputs in all sorts of forms. So one of the things I talk about is watching television programs in the language, and you can watch TV on the internet, and I have resources in the book of where to find directories and find TV stations in other countries that you can watch on the internet.
Cool.
One of the really great things is when you're watching the news, because you already know what the topic is. If they're talking about the protests in Iran, right. Even if you're watching China in Chinese, you're going to get what they're talking about. It's great. Like, if, you know, people have been learning Spanish by watching the telenovelas and soap operas from Latin America. And, you know, you might think that's not the most scientific way of learning Spanish, but who cares? You know, not everyone's going to read Don Quixote de la Mancha in Spanish. So if they're going to watch the melodramatic Mexican soap opera and that's going to help them learn Spanish, that's great for them. Because they're so melodramatic, and usually soap operas, you know, are all about love, money, betrayal. So it's kind of, you know, you're able to pick up on the gestures and the exaggerated facial expressions and be able to match the emotion to the words.
The book is Language is Music. Our guest is Susanna Zareski, and it has just been released this month. And what are your websites or your website?
Sure, it's createyourworldbooks.com.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on one second. Create Your World. Okay, createyourworldbooks.com?
Yes.
Okay. At the same time, you've got a book out that has to do with the art of budget travel to any destination. What's that about? Well, we know what it's about, but I mean, what is the art in budget
travel? The art is really knowing what to do. So the other question I got besides how have you traveled, how do you speak all these languages, is how have you traveled so much? Because I've traveled to over 50 countries and lived in 9, and I haven't done it on much money. And people were always asking me, how did you do it? How did you do it? And to be quite honest, I just got tired of answering a whole bunch of questions. I figured I might as well just write it in the book and sell it and tell people to read the book. What I realized was that people can buy a destination-specific book, like a Lonely Planet book for Thailand. But if they don't understand what they have to do ahead of time in terms of packing or how to buy or where to go to look for low-priced plane tickets on the internet, how to book accommodations on the internet, what to do about visas, they could end up spending a lot of money once they get to Thailand, even if they're trying to live on a low budget. Because it's like, basically the book is a primer on how to travel on a budget. So I learned throughout many years how to play the games that the airlines have for frequent flyer miles, because there are ways to get miles besides just flying on the airlines. Like, they have all sorts of bonuses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I include that in the book. And then I've learned also about different bus companies and train passes and how to use the train passes, you know, if you go to Europe or Japan or wherever. And I've also learned about changing money and what to do for food and packing. Packing can be a huge thing, and learning about, you know, how to pack and what things save time, things save space. And I think now with the way the economy is, people want to learn, okay, how do I go on vacation with little money?
Yeah, it's Travel Happy, Budget Low, Over 200 Money-Saving Tips to See the World by Susanna Zareski. And you say that budget travel doesn't mean that you're traveling on dilapidated old stinky buses or spending the night in rundown hotels. There's, you've really figured out how to travel on a budget, but make it fun.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, I have been on those buses. I can't say I haven't, but I realize that, you know, there are ways to find low-cost plane tickets or train tickets and find accommodations that aren't, you know, completely run down, even if you're on a budget. And there are also ways you can stay in people's homes, you know, do home swapping or couch surfing. I know we discussed that last time about there's a website called Couch Surfing where people open up their homes to travelers, and travelers can stay in people's homes across the world. And in terms of food also, you know, people don't need to eat three big meals a day. So if they learn about packing snacks and where to buy food and, you know, how to think about what they're eating throughout the day, they can really save a lot of money.
Okay. Well, it's fascinating stuff. The books are available. you can go to createyourworldbooks.com. I'm sure you can find them on Amazon and et cetera.
They'll be on Amazon in a couple of weeks.
Okay, yeah, because they just came out. Two books. One is Travel Happy, Budget Low, Over 200 Money-Saving Tips to See the World. And the other language is music, which really fascinates me. I got to check this out. It's focused on making learning foreign languages fun, easy, and affordable. And you can apply over 70 simple tips to things that you already do every day to help you learn a language. Fascinating stuff. Thank you, Susanna. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on the air. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Language is Music podcast. You can find out more information about learning languages through music at languageismusic.com.